Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
No more race to the bottom?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. School doesn't start for a few more weeks, but our president is sharpening his pencils. Today, the White House is expected to announce a competition for a whole lot of new money for schools. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
States will be able to compete for more than $4 billion in grants, but the money will only go to states that have taken clear steps toward reforming the education system. The administration's hoping that cash incentives will help encourage those reforms because schools have been forced to cut back in all kinds of areas. Christopher Swanson directs the Editorial Projects in Education Research Center. He says a few years ago, this kind of proposal might have been ignored. But lately, a lot of states have already started making the kinds of changes Obama's looking for, which should help.
Given kind of the movements that states have been already making themselves over recent years, plus, you know, honestly, the economic situation, I think it's going to get a serious hearing.
Two of the biggest changes Obama's pushing are tying teacher pay to student performance and trying to create common academic standards. Teachers' unions oppose any attempts to consider how students do when calculating teacher pay. The money will be distributed this year and next. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
After yesterday's big day on Wall Street, let's do the numbers. World stocks are on the rise again. Asian markets gained 1% to 2% today. South Korea said its economy grew at its fastest pace in almost 6 years. Major European markets are up less than 1%, although the diamond producer De Beers said net profit the first half of the year was down 99%. Yesterday, Wall Street stocks vaulted ahead. The Dow gained 188 points, came to rest at 9,069, the first close above 9,000 since January. The NASDAQ also gained more than 2% yesterday. That was its 12th straight advance, something it hasn't done since 1992. Not all tech companies are at their best, though. After the bell, Microsoft and Amazon came in with relatively disappointing earnings. So how healthy is the tech sector, really? Let's welcome Laura DiDio. She's a principal at ITIC, Information Technology Intelligence Corp. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Bill.
Is the rise of the NASDAQ a good indicator of our tech economy?
Yes, absolutely it is. But that said, it's also a mixed bag. The mixed bag looks good for certain consumer devices. That's why we saw Apple blowing out its numbers. But if you're Microsoft or Yahoo and some of the underperformers, it tells you that we're really not back yet in certain sectors in IT and also for bigger purchase items.
Microsoft has been hurt by lower PC sales, but is that a bellwether or just an isolated case?
Well, PC sales are slowing, but they are being taken up by notebook and netbook sales.
Right.
However, the silver lining in the cloud here is that there's a lot of pent-up demand because most companies skipped Vista and the current version of Office. It means there's a lot of pent-up demand for Windows 7, which is going to ship this October, and that's a good sign for Microsoft. Should help them rebound.
One more quick question, Laura. We keep hearing that Korea and Japan and China are beating the U.S. in technological innovation. Does the American tech sector have enough juice to lead our economy to great things in the coming years?
Yes, absolutely. Once again, though, it depends upon the sector. Where the Asian companies are outperforming the U.S. right now, it's in the small, inexpensive items that are very, very easy to mass produce. That's where they excel. We saw that 20 years ago with semiconductors, DRAMs. But they do not innovate the way the U.S. does. And when it comes to more complicated devices and software purchases, I think the U.S. still leads there and will continue to do so.
Laura DiDio at ITIC, thank you.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
President Obama has said he wants the healthcare industry to get away from paper records and switch in the next 5 years to EMR, electronic medical records. Well, a lot of hospitals and clinics are way ahead of that 5-year deadline. From WUWM in Milwaukee, Aaron Toner tells us about one hospital there that is flipping a big digital switch today.
Did you need some Alox, dear?
No, I feel you're going good right now.
You feel okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael Hiller has terrible nausea after his latest round of chemo and has been at Frederick Hospital in Milwaukee for about a week.
I was diagnosed with advanced throat cancer back in January of 2005. So every day since then, it's been a steady uphill climb, you know, fighting for my life, I guess.
You have this wristband on, and I understand right. They scan that.
It's a barcode type of situation, yeah. It basically looks like a barcode, a little abstract painting.
One click on the barcode brings up all of Hiller's medications. Starting today, that one click will bring up his entire chart. That's because the hospital is making a switch from handwritten patient notes to electronic records that can be accessed anywhere. Dr. Dennis Maiman has been involved in the transition.
There are admittedly those who say that they don't want to bother with it, they don't like computers, they don't like, that's tough. That's tough. If you want to practice medicine in the not-so-distant future and you don't want to use the EMR, you will not be practicing medicine. That's the way it is.
Maiman is chief of neurosurgery at Frederick. He says the biggest benefit with EMRs is better communication. Everyone involved in a patient's care knows right away what's going on, what drugs the person's taking, and what tests were done. Dr. Maiman says electronic records save time and leave a lot less room for costly medical mistakes.
Now when I talk to a patient, I can type in a message. What I've said to the patient is that when that patient calls back the next day to talk to one of the nurses because he or she didn't understand what I said, there it is.
Frederick Hospital in Milwaukee has spent $70 million so far on its EMR project. Another local system has spent more than $150 million. There are still some hurdles. In Milwaukee, the different systems don't necessarily talk to each other, and that's the next big challenge. Officials say an integrated system across different facilities could save billions by lowering the number of duplicate tests and treatments. In Milwaukee, I'm Aaron Toner for Marketplace.
Catch up on business news at our website. Scott Jagow is there blogging about naked shorts and more at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.